Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, ESPN football analyst, Trevor Maddich. Hi, Trevor. How are you?
I'm great, Adam. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. So let's make sense of the blockbuster trades in the NFL yesterday. Let's start with the Myles Garrett trade from Cleveland to the LA Rams. I want to focus on the Browns' perspective because in exchange for the best defensive player in the NFL and Myles Garrett, the Browns get an outstanding young defensive player in Jared Verse. When you consider the acquisition of Verse and all of the draft picks that came along with him in exchange for Garrett, what do you make of how the Browns did in yesterday's trade?
I think it was brilliant by the Browns. I mean, Myles Garrett might be the best defensive end the NFL has seen since Bruce Smith with the Buffalo Bills. You know, and so he is a generational player. But the Browns can't really use him right now if their goal is to get to the point of being competitive in their division and making the playoff and then making noise in the playoff, because by the time they get to that point, it's very likely that Myles Garrett will be slowing down. And trading him to a place that I'm sure he would much rather be gives them resources to be able to build the team so that they can then move forward and achieve their goals. And, you know, you talk about Jared Verse getting there. I mean, he's got the potential to be an elite pass rusher. You know, last year he had 7.5 sacks, but I go back to college and I look at his football character. I mean, he tore it up at Albany in the FCS and basically was told, just go get the quarterback. Just go run around and go attack. And he did. He led his conference in tackles for loss 1 year. He just all kinds of awards, transferred to Florida State. He excelled at Florida State as well. And in his first year there in 22, Jared Verse had he was named All-ACC first team, had more votes than any other defensive player in the conference. The Athletic named him first team All-American, and he could have come out to the NFL at that point. But he decided he wanted to stay at Florida State and continue to grow. He showed a professional humbleness, and he did even better his second year there. So the Browns are getting a guy that not only has potential elite physical skills, but also from a football character standpoint, somebody that I believe is going to be a great addition in that locker room. And then what do the Browns need most right now, right? Quarterback. And getting all those draft choices, including a number one and 27, they have the ability to bundle to move up in a quarterback class next year that by all accounts should be a very deep, very talented quarterback class and finally get that position squared away. So I think the Browns, even though they lost a generational defensive player, have set themselves up for the future.
On the other side, Trevor, we know how the Rams operate. They don't care about draft picks. They want to win. And Myles Garrett certainly helps them do that. But I am wondering about the risk that the LA Rams could be taking on by making this move. Garrett is an older player, and the aging curve could come for Garrett at some point. It's an expensive roster, I have to imagine now. I don't have the cap numbers in front of me. But what are the risks the Rams are taking in making such a seismic move?
Well, if Derek gets hurt, then all of a sudden it all goes away. But I think it's the right risk for the Rams to take because they're trying to maximize Matthew Stafford at quarterback in the time that he has left playing at a high level. And they kind of blew that one in this year's draft when they picked a quarterback to replace him, Ty Simpson out of Alabama, in the first round, the 13th pick in the draft, instead of taking a player there that might be able to help Matthew Stafford right now, certainly in the next couple of years. And so a lot of people gave them a lot of grief, including me, for making that decision and not helping Matthew Stafford. And it goes back in a lot of ways to how Green Bay drafted Jordan Love, the replacement for Aaron Rodgers, instead of somebody that could help Rodgers get back to the Super Bowl and win it with Green Bay. I thought that was not the right move for them to make, because when you are in position to make a legitimate Super Bowl run, you do everything you can to maximize that opportunity. Right now, that opportunity is named Matthew Stafford. And by adding even an aging around 30 years old, Myles Garrett, they maximize their ability to do the work now to get to and win a Super Bowl. And then, you know, in the years that come, if it doesn't work out, well, hey, they did their best. And if it does work out and they have to blow up the team because of salary cap issues, et cetera, and rebuild, they already did that. I mean, I think it was 22. They only won 5 games. And all of a sudden, now they've built back up to where they're currently, I believe, the odds favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. So they've done it before. So it's the right move for the Rams to take this risk by drafting and really mortgaging future draft picks and a young player sending him off, Jared Verse, but to bring in a guy that can help them win the Super Bowl right now because their window is open right now.
Now, Trevor, there was another big trade in the NFL, and obviously we all knew this was coming. It was more so when, not if, A.J. Brown get traded to the New England Patriots. Is New England A.J. Brown away from winning a Super Bowl, and where does this put the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, I think the Eagles were – they got what they wanted out of A.J. Brown. I don't know that there'll be a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth that he has now moved on. Plus, they got a pretty good package for him from New England. But New England was in the Super Bowl last year with one of the best young quarterbacks in the league in Drake May, and they weren't able to do much against Seattle, in part because their receivers weren't able to do too much. And then you've got their best receiver from last year by a mile, Stephon Diggs, was released for salary cap purposes. Their next best receiver, who's still on the team, is a tight end, Hunter Henry. And so they're really desperate for elite performance at the receiver position. And even though a lot of people will suggest that A.J. Brown might be a little rocky in a locker room, I think for Drake May, he's exactly the kind of veteran receiver that they need. And given that they let go of Stephon Diggs, I think it's good for them, and I think it's good for Philly, because now Philly has more draft capital to be able to do things. You know, ultimately, New England has got to consider themselves in a Super Bowl window now, because they went there last year, even with an offensive line that wasn't great and a receiving core that wasn't deep. And I think they're trying to fix those two things so they can maximize where they are.
Now that these trades have happened, the question that we had today, that Adam had for us, is, well, what does that mean with Jeffrey Simmons? You've seen these two deals being done, but the Titans chose to keep Jeffrey Simmons. Is it more so about those teams and where they're at, or is it more about how the Titans truly feel about Jeffrey Simmons and not just his production?
Well, I think those teams that made those trades were in the perfect position for both sides to benefit. I don't think there was a winner or a loser among any of those four teams. I thought it was four winners. As far as Jeffrey Simmons is concerned, every indication that I get out of the Titans camp is that they love everything about that guy. But in some ways, the Titans are in a similar position as Cleveland, except they already have their quarterback of the future now in Cam Ward. And with Jeffrey getting up there in age, you've got to figure that the Titans need to be building in a way that maximizes Cam Ward's curve of growth. And last year, he struggled early in the season, the second half of the season. As the schedule eased, Ward did much better. This year, by all accounts, out of OTAs, he's taken the next step forward. They've built a better team around him in terms of receivers, and then offensive line, we'll see if it's better. Certainly, they brought in more guys for more competition, and it is Cam Ward. It's all about Cam Ward. And Jeffrey Simmons' role on this team is how can he help Cam Ward take this team to the next level? And it might be that the best way he, at his age now, can help Cam Ward is the same way that Myles Garrett helped the Cleveland Browns. Now, Garrett, I'm sure, didn't make that decision. But at the same time, if there's a team that feels like they're a star defensive disruptor away from making a Super Bowl run, and they're willing to give up for Jeffrey Simmons the same kinds of packaging that the Rams gave up to get Myles Garrett, I think the Titans should make that trade. Not because of anything negative about Jeffrey Simmons, just to say that you want players around Cam Ward when he rounds into his prime in a few years that are also rounding into their prime. And in a few years, Jeffrey Simmons will be at the back end of his prime.
Do we have Trevor, Willie? There we go.
Yeah, Trevor, I have struggled to answer this, but we continue to get this. I don't know if I struggle to answer. I've tried to answer this is the best way to put this. But we continue year after year to get a lot of questions that have to do with the Titans in regards to trades like this, right, with a Jeffrey Simmons where you get a package of draft picks. People will say, you know, they've screwed up the draft, so why would you want the draft picks? They're going to screw them up anyway. How would you try to explain to people that concept, even though it's true, the Titans have not drafted well the last 5 or 6 years. It looks like maybe they're turning the corner the last couple of years with Borgonzi. But how do you answer that question when people say that?
Well, I would say that they're right to be a little bit shy about that and to be concerned about whether or not the Titans can draft well, especially at the top of the draft, first three rounds. But at the same time, what is the logical wargaming conclusion of that? Okay, the Titans can't draft, so they need to trade all their draft picks for veterans, right? Well, that's silly as well. And ultimately, they're not going to build this team through free agency to be consistently competitive for deep playoff runs and possibly even the Super Bowl once in a while. They have got to have outstanding, productive rookie stars on their rookie contracts in order to make that work. So you could say that they're not drafting well, and therefore it's too big of a risk to trade Simmons for draft picks. But if you say that, then what you're saying actually is that there's a limit to what they can accomplish because they're not going to have enough star players on rookie contracts to be able to get there from a salary cap standpoint. Because they'll always be overpaying for free agents because you always overpay for free agents. And we could talk about several important contributors to the Titans that are on the team right now that came via free agency that probably were overpaid for. Well, you don't overpay for rookies, and that's one of the key components to it. So I would suggest to those fans to say that if the Titans don't draft well, then they just need to get better people in to draft better.
Trevor, let's pivot to college. I read a really good article by Pat Forty, and he was really doing a deep dive into all of the aspects of what a 24-team playoff would do. And he was trying to give both sides of the argument on a lot of the elements. So let's take the actual postseason out of it for a second. I thought a really fun one to try to, because I don't know what the answer is until we see it. But he argued that if you go to 24, the regular season, some people say, oh, the regular season would be so much better because there are so many teams would be in contention that wouldn't otherwise. But he also made the point that instead of saying, now you might have an Iowa-Minnesota game late in the season that the winner has a shot to get in as the 23rd or 24th team. The loser's out. Great. But he also said on the other side of the coin, a huge LSU-Alabama matchup late in the season wouldn't mean anything or as much because they're both going to make the playoffs anyway. So would a 24-team playoff increase or decrease the value of the regular season in your mind?
I think it would overall decrease the value because those big games are no longer big games. Fans will care about them that are passionate fans. You know, you talk about, you know, Alabama, LSU, or Ohio State, Michigan. They'll always care about those. But from a national standpoint, what used to be appointment viewing, what used to be critical in terms of making the playoff or making the best bowl games, et cetera, now you're going to watch, you know, backups play because the starters are going to rest. It's going to be just like the NFL. And that, to me, is the big risk of going to 24, that I think 16 would not provide as big a risk. Going to 24 forces college football to get rid of college championship games, I believe, conference championship games. And going to 24 would force changes in college football that would turn it into the NFL. And one of those things is that conferences, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, who cares, conferences are mildly interesting sideshows, only important in the ways that they relate to teams making the playoff. Divisions in the NFL, nobody cares that you're the division champion. Nobody cares, except for how it relates to the playoffs and home games and things like that. And that, to me, would be so sad. If the SEC, for example, turned into, in a few years, once people kind of sort of forget about how amazing an SEC championship race used to be, and turned it into, you know, an AFC South race, that same kind of thing. It's interesting only in regards to the playoffs. Because in the NFL, the only thing that matters is, do you make the playoffs? And then, do you make and win the Super Bowl? That's it. And going to 24, I think, would cause that in college football. And for all the teams that are on the back end fighting at the end of the season to make it, that's exciting. You've got the teams at the top that are mailing it in, and that's less exciting. I think at 16, it's kind of a sweet spot. 12 would also be a sweet spot. But, you know, people say that, you know, you could go to 16 and those last four teams won't be able to compete anyway. I disagree with that. Because the way NIL is right now, you know, a lot of talent is getting spread around in ways that it wasn't in the past. But if you get to 24, you're just adding teams that probably are set up to just get blown out just because there'll be a lot of money. Now, having said that, I do think eventually, probably sooner rather than later, they will go to 24 because the money is going to be enormous. But I think it will be sad because it will erase some of the unique things about college football that differentiate it from the NFL and turn it into NFL light.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday breaking down the NFL and college football. Trevor, as always, a pleasure. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. Of course, the big news of the day. The Nashville Predators have hired Chris McFarland, former Avalanche GM, as their president of hockey operations and GM. And we will get back to that at the top of the hour. But coming up next, there was also some big news on our show. We're going to let Willie Donick brag about his son coming up next because his son Mahoney, two wins away from being a D3 national champion. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.